Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The word of the Lord which engages us this morning comes from our epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians 3, read earlier. How many of you have ever watched one of those HGTV or HGTV-like shows where they do a fixer-upper, you know, they take everything down to the studs and then rebuild it back from the foundation? How many of you have ever watched a show like that? Okay, good. How many of you have actually done that kind of rehab work yourselves? I thought there'd be a few hands, but probably fewer than what had actually watched the show. How many of you have actually been a master builder? That is, the main contractor for one of those rehab type of settings where you were guiding everybody else and telling them on what to do. Okay, yeah, we have one. Yeah, I remember your work from before coming to the seminary, so. I think I'll probably get everybody on this one. How many of you have ever been a master builder of a temple where you had to bring in huge foundation stones and build it up with gold and silver and precious stones? Yeah, probably not any of us on that. We all have a little experience with building things, even if it's just vicarious, something that we've watched somebody else do. But few of us have actually built a physical building, let alone a physical temple, as Paul is alluding to here. Nor do we need to have done so as Christians. Paul is simply continuing the thought that he had earlier in the chapter about the divisiveness amongst the Corinthians, the part that Andy Jones preached about so aptly on Monday. The Corinthians were being divisive and dividing themselves into who were followers of Apollos and who were followers of Paul and who was leading them on. But Paul preached to them an imagery, a metaphor of a field, with Paul, who was the one who was planting, and Apollos being the one who watered, but God who was doing the growing and leading. Now Paul switches metaphors, saying that we are not just God's field, but we, the church, are co-builders with God, and God's building, actually, the temple. When I first started preparing for this sermon, I was looking for that verse that says that each of our individual bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then as I looked a little more closely, realized, oh, no, that's not actually in 1 Corinthians 3. That's later in 1 Corinthians 6, when Paul is telling the Corinthians that as individuals they are to flee from sexual immorality and not to pollute their bodies and spirits. But here in chapter 3, Paul is using a similar metaphor, the temple of God, but not as individuals, but as the church. This temple's foundation is Jesus Christ, Paul says. Paul has earlier spoken about the foolishness that the world sees among us when we look to Christ crucified as our Savior. He will continue later on with the wonder, the mystery of Christ's resurrection. But the problem that Paul is dealing with in our text here is the continuing spiritual immaturity of the Corinthian Christians and how they are showing that immaturity in the jealousy and strife they had among them. They had a tendency to build upon themselves and their weaknesses, not upon Christ. When you've watched those HGTV fixer-upper shows, isn't it amazing, kind of shocking sometimes, to see the building materials that some of the previous builders used a decade or two before, and they peel that back and they go, what were they thinking when they built it like that? Just a couple years ago when we were rehabbing our house, we were wondering why one of our HVAC ducts was not blowing air up into one bedroom. And we looked and looked and finally had to tear out part of the basement ceiling to get at the duct to see what was happening. And lo and behold, somebody, probably decades ago, had fixed a hole in the duct with, you've got it, duct tape. Okay? Again, I love duct tape as much as the other guy. It's a great fix-it thing for temporary issues, but not for a permanent fix of an HVAC duct sealed behind a wall. Come on. Paul's saying something similar. He says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This text is not, as some of our Roman Catholic brothers want to take it, a text about purgatory. Paul and the other apostles here are clearly portrayed as the master builders of the gospel, who have, by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word, revealed to us the foundation of our faith, who is Jesus Christ our Lord, crucified and resurrected for us, for you. No earthquake, no storm will ever weaken or crack this foundation of Jesus. And we have been united, invited by the Master Builder, by Paul, to be in his continuing spiritual HGTV show. Let's call it temple building. He challenges us by asking, what sort of materials are you going to use in this show? Temporary materials like hay and straw and duct tape? Or permanent, God-glorifying materials like his word and sacraments? Then Paul does a little more metaphor switching again. First, the Corinthians are co-builders of this temple with him. Then he asks, do you not know that you plural, are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Lockwood, in his Concordia commentary on 1 Corinthians, states that Paul is, with this question, gently shaming the Corinthians for their lack of self-awareness. Do you not know that you plural, are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you, among you? Like the Corinthians, we are also tempted to think of ourselves individualistically or in factions. In this culture we live in that perpetuates factionalism and individualism, we will want to seek all the opportunities that we have, that God gives us to show our love for one another, which is what Matt spoke about, preached about yesterday, to be united in Christ, to show the peace we have as people who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and among us. Let's actually practice that just a little bit. That is our unity. We're going to be singing hymn 696 next. I actually had this hymn assigned to me 18 months ago by the dean for a similar sort of unity text. That time it was Ephesians 4. And I noticed in this hymn, 696, it's a wonderful hymn, but all the pronouns are first person singular. In order to help us think outside of our singularity and our individualism and think more corporately, why don't we try singing this hymn with first person plural pronouns? I get a little tricky in verse 5 where there's an it or something in there. You have to change to third person plural pronouns, they and them, for that. But the rest of it, I'm confident in you as the body of Christ that you can make that sort of switch and begin to think of all of us together as part of the body of Christ. We sing the hymn.